I was asked to not only introduce the artist tonight, but the problem. And I didn't trust myself to be able to do it within 3 or 4 minutes if I extemporized, so I tried to write it out. So I apologize in advance for that when I'm trying to read this. O and A are Bruce Odland and Sam Allinger, composers, musicians, and sonic artists, whose project is to transform the concrete environment around us into musical instruments that can be made to transmit lost or buried signal and information to us. Their project is also a psychic and spiritual one. It develops a practice of close attention and listening, one that connects us in very deep ways to the forces and processes that modify our lives. I was asked tonight to comment briefly on why sound ought to be considered a primary concern to architects. The best short approach, I thought, was to start with the most fundamental. Sound and space were connected long before geometry or vision were, and sound remains so connected, all the more insistently for having fallen below the threshold of our usual and routine attention. Today especially. No one who thinks or works with sound fails to note the overwhelming bias in our sensorial universe toward vision and how deforming this biased posture can be for our senses, our aliveness, our imaginations, even our political life and our souls. This bias severely limits the means and surfaces through which we can connect not only to our spatial world, but to ourselves as well. Sound is energy in the form of vibration, and all vibration is the movement of matter. There is no perception without movement. The senses neither see, nor hear, nor feel what does not move. Even perfectly still objects are not perceptible without the saccadic or vibratory movement of the eyes. And the eyes, the vibration of the eyes is actually the fastest moving muscle in the human body. Most people cannot see it, so the point is you couldn't see anything if your eyes were not doing it. What is the first human experience of space? Long, very long, before the eyes and the visual cortex begin to develop, the embryo begins to receive a multiplicity of sonic signals from the mother's body, the heartbeat, the breath, and the gastric processes, and then from the world outside the womb in the form of vague rhythms and tones, such as music, speech, and the ambient sounds of the mother's environment. These are received by the tissues, especially neural ones, of the developing baby, and they are incorporated literally into its body by a process known as neural sculpting. It seems there's also a preponderance of evidence that suggests it is not only a neural process, but actually takes place throughout the actual living biology of the body. Once established as a permanent structure in the embryo's body, the structure acts itself like a framework, or musical instrument, or a resonant body to respond to and to order all subsequent sounds. In some ways, what it means is that through sound, through listening, through music, one actually, in a way, can experience some of the earliest sensations that we had long before the world, the visual world, ever presented itself to us, or ever presented that level of organization. Indeed, all human experience is patterned on the original matrix established by the sensing of space outside us through sound. But this very material process of transferring sound from one resonating body to another, which is essentially the work we're going to see tonight, is literally the originating matrix that connects us to, and indeed embeds us in, the world. This is why listening, especially deep listening, can be seen as a recovery of physical being, emerging in direct communication with the concrete aspects of space, with none of the abstractions and dissociations that belong to the traditions of the visible. This is what the composer Karlheinz Stockhausen, commenting on the ultimate fact that we humans too are resonant, receiving and transmitting bodies, he once exclaimed, quote, "We always think of ourselves in the world when we are in fact, when we in fact are the world." Similarly, when Odland and Allinger refer to the world we hear, which is the title of tonight's work, they also surely mean the world we are. Working with a limited set of principles, such as capture, relay, filter, transmission, tuning, and transfer, they have developed an ethos of active and attuned perception that results in nothing less than a being space. This practice exceeds anything that traditionally bound architecture in its often narrowed visual and geometric understanding typically seeks to achieve. Odland and Allinger's project is to teach us to pay attention to the world and the signals around us in unimaginably acute ways, and to make paying attention into an active process of transforming the environment as a means of transforming ourselves in turn. So I welcome you. That works, right? Now we're going to hear the piece now.
Sandra, thank you for your wonderfully perceptive frame. We're going to be playing sound from a surround here, so we invite you to come to the center. Take a little moment to shift where you are. The more center you are, the nicer you'll hear.
What's up, y'all?
snowfall on the ride. Randomness. The sound tells us about the weather, the time of year, the space we inhabit. To the city, real time. The sound of the city tells us about ourselves. Going choices were made, and they sound like this. Back to nature. What we hear is what is. The detailed pleasure of small events, hearing the world we live in. Sound tells us about the weather. About place. About space. We won't know who we are until we understand our own noise. Thank you.